Yes, good morning, everybody. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And as we are always doing, this is your program that we look at economic development. These are the programs that we look at policy issues, programs that we analyze political decisions, economic decisions, and everything that affect bread and butter issue. Yes, it's a beautiful Thursday morning, 3rd of July, 2025, and we are progressing deep into the year. And yeah, it's always a very important opportunity, particularly at this point in time, when you find those who are already on their way to work. You can also find those who are still sleeping. Some are jogging, some are at the gym, some are preparing to start their business, some are returning home from work. And I greet you from your favorite radio station, Eagle FM Namibia. And we are here until the hour of 7:30. And yeah, just before we dive into the conversation for today, it's always very important to understand that as we are progressing with life, every day that you wake up, the decision that you are making are the building blocks of your life. And one interesting quote I found is that, time is the only currency you spend without ever knowing your balance. And then you must use it wisely. You don't know how much time you have, but it's the only currency that you can use. But use every second wisely without, procrastinate or contemplating on taking those risks. But with greater outcomes, because they are saying with every risk that you are taking, there's always the possibility of a greater outcome in that. Yes, as I was saying, Early Morning Scoop is your discussion platform. In this platform, we look at various issues. We look at the different sectors. We look at how we can contribute to the conversation. We look at how we can analyze decisions that we are making as business individuals, as politicians, as academicians, as parents, as young people, and how are these decisions affect the national development. We look at analyzing institutions such as banking institutions, government institutions. We look at non-governmental organizations. And we are always saying, as long as until the point where Namibia is at the standard that we want, we will continue to speak. We will continue bringing you about those discussions, and we will make sure that our voice is expressed, and we also make sure that the discussion that we bring about is also the discussion that encourages everybody to join the conversation. It's a discussion which is inclusive, and it's a discussion which tolerates various opinion about different sectors, as long as what you are going to contribute is necessary and is also adding to the conversation. Because bringing about this discussion, we want to awaken the minds and the thinking of individuals, the thinking of Namibian people, to rethink about where we come from, to rethink about the progress that we have made as a country, and most importantly, not only to praise ourselves, but also to criticize ourselves in a manner that we want to improve. Because one thing that we need to understand is that when we discuss real issues here, it's not about attacking institutions. It's not about attacking our leaders, but it's about bringing the conversation out so that we will learn what we have done wrong. Because they are saying, victory has something that it has a psychological impact that you will not even think about a way to improve, because victory can drunk people. And that's why we are saying it's always very important to making sure that look at those critical issues, look at those challenges that we are facing, and how can we improve and how can we contribute, because it's only through these discussions that people can go and rethink. It's only through this discussion that policymakers will go and rethink. It's only through this discussion that we start to think differently. We start opening our mind and we start learning from each other. So that's why after every deep conversation that we bring about, we always making sure that we are going to open the line. We are going to open the line so that you can give your contribution, so that you can air your opinion and add to the conversation. So dear listeners, for those of you who are waking up or for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, Early Morning Scoop is a platform that we look at the business discussions, and we are here until the hour of 7:30. Yeah, before we go to the conversation, it's always very important to making sure that you communicate with us, you connect with us in our social media platform, Eagle FM Namibia. Like our page and share our page on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X. And also download our e-paper. That is, of course, the Villager newspaper. It's coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe to it at 081-200-4144. Save that number. Then you'll be able to receive that e-paper every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can be a student of economics, politics, international law, international relations, and development, education, and an interested citizen who is an actor in development. You can be a researcher. The Villager newspaper is your go-to-go e-paper and can make your life easier in terms of access to data. And through those topical issues that are, you know, written there, or opinion from experts, will be able to expand your horizons, and you can also be able to research more based on what you are seeing. And on the other thing, there are also those who are still not yet on the app. There are also those who are still not yet on the app, and they are always saying, Gale FM, we are always willing to connect with you, or we are always willing to listen to your programs, but we are not able to be reached by your frequency. Interestingly, we have an alternative and better way of, you know, accessing Eagle FM programs, which are live on air, and also the previous programs that you have missed through podcast. Now, we can only do that by downloading our Eagle FM app. You can go to Play Store, download Eagle FM app. We are always telling our listener to say the operation mechanism of Eagle FM app is very straightforward and easy to access. When you open it, you automatically listen to the programs which are on air. And when you want to go back and do your research, you can go to podcast. Then you can get that open archive. Then you can listen and do your research. And the other thing, we have Imba app. That is simplification and a better way of accessing a digital form of your hymn book. The world is moving toward digitalization in the 21st century. We're moving toward digitalization. The world is moving very fast. And the content of hard copy, although it's important, is not used widely anymore. People are now using digital form, fast access of your documents in a soft copy. Now, in a situation where you do not have a hymn book, you can be a pastor, you can be a student, you can be a citizen, you are called to go and attend a graduation event, you know, weddings, birthdays, even unfortunate events like funerals, and you are required to sing from a hymn book, and you do not have it, we have a better way of assisting you. Just download the Imba app. Then you can directly access hymn book. What is very interesting about the app is also that you can access the hymn songs in Oshiwambo, that is your Ihangano, Oshiherero, Afrikaans, English, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So, download the Imba app, make your life easy, and work smart. Not always hard, but smart, and make your life very easy. So, let's go to a commercial break, then we'll see what we have today on the table. We are going to have a deep conversation. We are going to have a deep conversation, and we are also going to look at some, you know, key events which are happening. particularly the rankings of our country, particularly the rankings of our country, Namibia. It's not really a bad news, but it's a news that allow us to go back and rethink, because when you look at the latest World Bank report, which is evaluating countries based on their income, we are demoted. We are no more upper middle income. We are lower middle income country due to decreasing in terms of our GDP per capita, due to, you know, increasing of GDP at a decreasing pace. So those are some of the things that we need to look at. And the discussion that we are going to have today, particularly in terms of academic pragmatism, we are also going to touch how can we use education as a tool to advance our country. And from there, we are also going to listen to one of academician, particularly from the side of food security, who is going to give his input about the link between academia and also practicality. So let's go to commercial break. Then from there, we are going to go straight to the conversation. And we also open the line for you so that you can join the conversation, you can give your input, you can ask ourselves those difficult questions, and we can contribute one or two things to the national development and to the future of our country.
Lipura nengelo wapubwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko mderewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yes, welcome back to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And as I indicated earlier on, today, the conversation for today, we are going to be looking at the contribution of academia to national development. That is academic pragmatism. What is academic pragmatism? And also, what is the contribution of education to national development? What does it mean to be an educated Namibian? And what can educated Namibian do to improve the national development agenda in terms of participating in economic development, in terms of participating in business, in terms of private sector, in terms of public service and non-governmental organization. And what is very interesting about this conversation is also that we are also going to try and analyze the content of education. Is it relevant at this time? Are the curriculums answering to the needs of the Namibian people? And we are also going to look at the gap between what is being taught at the theoretical level and also what is on the ground. And we are going to ask ourselves difficult questions. We are going to ask ourselves difficult questions to say, how did we get here? How did we get to where we are here at this point in time? Because when you look at the aim of education, Nelson Mandela indicated that education is a greatest equalizer. It's a greatest equalizer, and it's a key that can open many doors. Now, looking at what we have as we are speaking now, what we have in Namibia, education is not a problem anymore. Going to university and obtaining a degree is not a problem anymore. Unlike, for example, in the early 2000s or in the early 1990s. In the early 2000s, when somebody have a BETD, a basic education diploma, these people were respected in the community. And in most regions, these were the highest qualifications. But when individuals started obtaining qualifications such as, advanced, diploma, bachelor's degree, honors degree. And it was a bit rare to find somebody, below the age of 27 having a master's degree. And the master's degree by then, it was a respected qualification, and it was a qualification which require an individual to do an intensive research, and its content was respected due to that. But looking at where we are now, at the current moment, whatever field you study, there is no guarantee, not only about you getting a job, just about you being relevant in the national economic development. Now, the question that we are going to ask ourselves is that, who is controlling the generic that our curriculums are developed from? Who is in charge of that? Who is controlling the generic? What is the difference between the education that we're giving our children, either at a basic education level or at the highest education level? Who is in charge of controlling that? We need to ask ourselves those questions. And the question also that we need to ask ourselves is that in terms of addressing the needs of the people, how come, why do we still depend more, or our life depend on external pharmaceutical companies to supply us with medicine? And we are crying to say, no, we need more medicine, we need more pills, we need more boosters of health, boosters and all those things. Why don't a country depend too much on external drugs, regardless of us having medical researchers, regardless of us, you know, having people who studied, can be medicinal chemistry, can be medicine, it can be medical research. And we also need to look at what is the difference? Why are we not integrating traditional medicine to modern medicine? And a lot of questions should go. A lot of questions should go. And asking also ourselves, why are we talking about development? Why are we talking about industrialization? If the government itself is not spending or is spending less than 1% of its GDP to research and development, how are we going to reach that that industrialization? If you are spending less than 1% of your GDP to research and development. So the question that we also need to ask ourselves is that who is determining, or who is defining what is needed by the Namibian people, and who is going to fail if we have practical academic pragmatism, if we have educated people using real skills or real or applying the or connecting the theories and practicals to solve Namibian problems. And also the question that you need to ask yourself is that regardless of us being educated, that we said we are educated, we said we have degrees, we have masters, we have PhDs, we have all the advanced diplomas and all the qualifications, why are we not relevant to our community? Is that real education we just went to obtain the qualification or meet the requirements? It's also now the time, it's also the platform that we have now to make sure that we analyze the content of the courses that we are getting at university, at college, at vocational training center, and all these things. And we also need to ask ourselves these questions in this morning. Why do we depend on external consultants to solve our problems? Now, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, or for those of you who are just waking up, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Today we are looking at academic pragmatism, the importance of education in national development. Yes, Namibia, we have more than 80% of literacy. Are we able to read and write? But it's only that, are we able to innovate? Are we able to expand our economy? Are we able to do things on our own? What is the content that, what are we learning from university? Because it cannot be correct. Something went wrong somewhere. Something went wrong somewhere and everybody's surprised. Something went wrong somewhere and everybody's surprised. Because when we go back, to how education developed in Namibia, coming from Badu Education Act of 1953, that was a segregation law, apartheid regime law of limiting options, limiting skills to black South Africans and Namibians, and were only and these people were only given an opportunity to study few and basic basic courses and basic professions, to making sure that the structure of the society, is not giving them opportunity to be on top of the white men. Now, on top of that, there is something that I think we need to go back. Just before you go deep into the conversation, that is combination of modern education with what we already had. Or what we already had, because when we look at countries who went through education transformation, and also who did or have better developmental model, these countries they made important moves in development. One of them is China, and also Cuba. These countries were so smart enough to realize to say, for their development to go ahead, particularly in the field of medicine and business. In the field of medicine, China made sure that they combine traditional medication with modern medicine practice. Now, this is where you have those old herbs being put to laboratories, being investigated, researched about, and made quality products. Same with what happened and also in Cuba. That's why when you look at a country which is regarded as with communist ideology, but has best doctors in the world, it's because of what they did in 1992 when they integrate traditional medications to modern medicine. That is one aspect of practical academic pragmatism. That's why you can say whatever you can say about Cuban economy and Cuban ideologies in terms of Marxism and communism. But one thing you cannot take from them is that in terms of the armies of doctors that they have, look at what happened in Italy. These are the guys who rescued Italy from being whipped away by COVID-19 during that time, by just sending the army of doctors, and they did the right job. Now, let's come to Namibia. Why are we where we are today? Why are we where we are today in terms of education? What are we learning from universities? Are we willing to change? Are we catching up with the change of time? Are we catching up with the change of time? And who is in charge of those, decisions, those policies? You know, so what can we do as citizens to make sure that whatever we learn, we don't just learn, but we also unlearn? Yeah, because it's not right at all. It's not right at all. And I've been saying this. It's not right at all for somebody who went to university, who studied business and studied entrepreneurship, and then this person cannot even manage a taxi. Just manage a taxi or manage a tax shop. Just the basics. What is the system training us to do? Is the system only training us to be part of the basic standard system, or is training us to think? It's training us to innovate. It's training us to compete with the world. Because, you know, it's always good to criticize, especially those who are in charge of education. You have institutions such as NIED, which are in charge of looking at curriculum of basic education. Then you have institutions such as Council of Higher Education, which also are in charge of education at the higher institutions. Then you have Namibia Qualification Authority, which are a regulator in charge of evaluating and also accrediting. Then we have all these parallel institutions. But what is happening on the ground is not conducive. There is a big gap between theory and practice. You find individuals who studied agriculture science, agriculture economics, and these individuals, when they cannot manage subsistence farm, not a commercial farm, subsistence farm, they cannot manage. Then you're asking yourself, what are you teaching our kids? Why on earth somebody from a dropout of Harvard University come up with a big tech company that can rule the world? But looking at this case in Africa, you don't even need to be a dropout. Yes, we understand there's a difference between Harvard University and University of Namibia. But somebody dropped out from Harvard, then he just went there for 6 months or 9 months to acquire the necessary skills that he planned to do, then came up with a multi-million or a billion-dollar company that is ruling the world. And you went to University of Namibia, you study high-tech stuffs, study electronic engineering, software engineering and all those things. But your contribution to this national development is relevant. It's not seen. It's closer to nothing. You are not a problem. It could be that you are learning things that the world was learning 35 years ago. So, let's take a caller. Yes, hello.
Is it too early?
No. It's never too late or early. Just bring your point, then we can move forward.
How are you doing? Good morning, good.
The morning is good, and how are you doing, sir?
Everything good.
Yes.
So I'm happy that you began with all these things, asking ourselves some questions.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to who determines our need.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that person who determines our need? That yes, Mr. Dave, David Sombe needs this in life.
Yeah.
Of course, there are times when people, representatives and things like that,
yeah,
they identify needs,
yeah,
identify solutions,
yeah,
issue of that nature,
mm,
through research, through, yeah, reading,
yeah,
especially in your program, you were talking about e-learning there.
Yeah.
And your document there is on e-learning. I always learn here everything, the constitution, the everything.
Yeah.
You learn it through your web,
yeah,
your app.
Okay.
So now when you're coming to, of course, we understand it's true, like you mentioned, that the education system that was there was a colonial education system, the apartheid education system. All those things has impacted our life, and they are still impacting our life, because you know some of these rules, I mean, you know, acts and all these things are still in place.
Yeah, but the Education Act is no more there. People, we are now having the same education standard.
Yes. So if it's the same education standard, and it was not equal by then, now you now see even the facility, the teaching, aids, and all the things.
Mm.
If you are giving me 50,000
for
my school station or whatever, the number that determine that, and you are giving DHEC this amount where my daughter was going, do you think you are equalizing? Is that equitable distribution of resources? And you know it's not now. So you are actually empowering the one who was already empowered.
Mm-hmm.
And so to tell you the truth, it's very hard for you to find a category of our colleagues and compatriots like why.
Mm-hmm.
Because the system has benefited them from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, of course, we are now saying that we need to improve and rectify some of these things. Boundary education system is not in place now, but the values in the all this kind of most of the theories are still stuck in the people. So, and the attitudes. Just go to different school and do some research, and you find out that we are not on the equal partner. Not at all, because of all those resources, because of all those things. The other thing that you mentioned so important is how to identify our needs.
Yeah.
And somebody cannot...
While you are there, the aim of institution like Council of Higher Education, NIED, they made sure that at a certain point in time, a society need a different approach, have a different need. Then they draft or they align the curriculum to that direction. Now the question is that Are we connecting what we need and what we are teaching people? Because curriculum change with time.
Yeah, you see, our curriculum has been reformed several times.
Yeah,
I think 2 years ago they just finished their reform.
I think we have. Are we not always late?
No, the things are now done almost. Of course, you do it according to your needs.
Yeah.
And the changes like you are talking about.
Mm.
But the one that is there now, I don't know when again they will revise it, but you continue to revising it.
As you
are teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are seeing that, yes, there is a e-document where you can learn about this and this at your ministry. I mean, not your ministry, at Eagle FM.
Mm.
So you now start to incorporate, integrate those issues. Do you understand? In your curriculum.
Mm.
But there was a revamp, I think it was just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they have been following them. They were having a lot of platform in Rwanda, in everywhere, UK, UK, India, somewhere else, just 2 years ago. So they come and they say, look, like for example in Rwanda, where we are praising them so much.
Yeah.
You know how much the Rwandan parents and students contribute toward the education for their children? It's a huge amount. Huge.
Yeah.
Not even compared to our, when they say, buy the station, stationaries, you know, all this sort of thing. It's huge. So why are we praising them? It's because they are developing. Because the parents are contributing. It's a corrective effort. To rectify, to make sure that all the, are you not the one who was mentioning about sport as a creation or way of creation of employment? So all those things we need to revamp them. If you are in your village and you convince yourself and say, yes, here is, we are talking about community development now, initiative. Where are the councillors in the, or the youth here in this village, cluster those village, man, and start doing something. So and then you say now those entrepreneurs who are studying entrepreneurs and all these other subjects, and they are still cannot manage the text. We need to help them. Maybe they have learned now the theory, the practicality, and all these things. If you gather them and you convince them.
Yeah.
To bring a name when I have accents.
Yeah.
Both accents. Are you telling me that you cannot install, like I said yesterday, some kind of solar panel in your village?
No.
And then you start having some fish ponds there?
No,
in agriculture?
Yeah, no, that one we can do. You know, the problem which I have is spending 4 years at university, but, what you are teaching me, I cannot use it. It's not my problem.
Maybe what you are taught is good. It is you who should now think about out of the box. Because if, for example, you know, there are people who are making money, business, make it whatever, but they have not gone to university.
That is where I want the conversation to go, to say it could be that there is a lot of skills that we are not neglecting because we have this issue. You know, when students we were told to believe in the mainstream education, and that is where the problem is. In that mainstream education, 90% of that mainstream education is Western, and a lot of people who direct and a lot of people who were in charge of aligning that education to Western education, which I'm not blaming because it's connecting us to international, education system. We integrate our own skills that we already had, our own, knowledge that we already have, especially in terms of medicine, like what we have been doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's why now it's very difficult for that person because you just teach me a lot of theories at university. Then when I come on the ground, I have to restart again.
You know, one of the professor who is teaching those subjects, pharmacies and all these things, during colonies and things like that.
Yeah.
There is a book that is published by University of Namibia about our indigenous knowledge of Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
Indigenous knowledge of Namibia. And where they are now talking about all those plants that they have to heal ailments, all these things, and they are there. If you want to need Kavango, and these are the things that we are associated with. The medication and all these things. And then, you know, people have done research on this and they are still doing research. So for us, it's true. Maybe the content, I'm not really questioning about the content and things, because sometimes I interact with my children, I interact with the other students. And I was also a teacher anyway. When you look, tell them about technical skills, for example. People, they devalue that. They don't value the contribution, the skills and things like that. And it's to tell, and people, we have motivated a lot of them in, at school now. But honestly, but those ones are the ones who are now working in this big garage in JL, and then jet, and what is it, this where you get your master bins?
Yeah, the auto houses.
All those things. But what I'm saying, you are saying, is those questions are correct, but who identify our need, our developmental need, our social need, or whatever need?
Yeah.
It's ourselves. Of course, like we say, take the economic development opportunity to the people.
Yes.
Where the people are, where they are migrating to.
Yes. Thank you.
Migrating to coming here. And also now reform some of this act, and those who, there are still, there are a lot of them which are still, maybe they were reformed, but after independence, but then there are still barriers. Collateral security, for example. Why can't you collateralize the people who are in the rural area? And then if there is a way to make sure that those who want to do business in the rural areas have got access to capital. Maybe they have the capital, the knowledge that they have. And even if they, there are so many people around there within their villages who are able to provide that capital, provided you ensure that, yes, you get your the return on your investment. Because there are not many people there.
Yes, so, thank you for your contribution.
Welcome.
Yes. Yes, that is our uncle. Now, he indicated that we must bring economic development to the people and integrate them also in terms of skills, which is actually a very, very good point. It's actually a very good point. Yes, on this point, we are continuing with a conversation of asking questions. Conversation of asking questions to say, are we where we wanted to be? How did we end up getting here? And how did we end up rushing things? Because if you see, if you look at our new administration, I like it. It's command effectiveness. It's command good governance. But when you are looking at our people who are in charge, it looks like they are given a lot of responsibilities. That's why When you meet Minister Sankwasa on your way to work, you start running. When you meet Nekundi, you start running. When you meet Tatehete, you start running. But yes, that was not really supposed to be the case, because our governance now, based on a lot of problems that we have, it looks like we are leading like we are running out of time. But that was not supposed to be the case. But anyway, let us look at how did we get here? How are we going to move forward? How did we get here? How are we going to move forward? And if you want to test, if you want to test academic pragmatism, if you want to test, the quality of education that we are getting, go in the field and see who is doing the job. Is one who are the one who are trained, are the one who got experience. You realize to say, those who did not go to academic institutions or advanced education, but they started learning skills earlier. Some of these guys, they know better or best than those who went to the mainstream academic education. Now, the question that we are asking ourselves is that, yes, People went to school. People went to learn. But do we really get time to see what we are learning and if it's relevant? Have you ever sit with somebody in your life that has a lot of qualifications, obtained a lot of qualifications? Let me say, three qualifications to say. Let me say it's a bachelor, honors, a master's degree in one field. Then you sit with this person, have a discussion, and talk about real issues. Then you end up thinking like, is this the real person or this person was sent by somebody? Have you ever experienced that? Person say went to school, but this is what they think, this is what they reason. And you start questioning, if somebody who has a master's degree is reasoning like this, what about an ordinary Matthew who just went and obtained a certificate for 1 year? What about that? Is it not the right time to combine theories with practice? Not practice in terms of sending people to internship. It's practice in terms of if you are teaching my student medicine. Yes, you must be in academics, but you must have a little bit of practical knowledge on the field of medicine. If you are to be, for example, a director of University of Namibia Business School or IUM Business School or NAS, the Public Affairs Business School, you don't just need a doctorate in business management. You need to have experience in running a successful business, even establishing a business, because people that you are training there, those are going to be corporate chiefs. Those are going to be industrial leaders. But if you don't have that practical experience or research-based or domestic-based skills, then don't be surprised if people that you are going to, or that you are training, SOEs are still end up collapsing. They're still ending up collapsing because people that are trained, we are just on the book but not in the field. So those are the conversations that we need to expand. Those are the conversations that we need to look at, especially if you want to move forward. And for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Today we are analyzing academic pragmatism. What is the relevance of our academic education to national development? How did we end up here? Why are we rushing things now? Why is our administration operating like we are running out of time? What is a better way of doing it? And the one thing, if you are pressuring people, it will not really work to our favor. Because you are demanding results in a society which was not prepared for that. We need transformation. And we must have a good plan. Because look at it this way. Namibia is an economically blessed country in terms of natural resources. Nobody can deny that. Since independence, the founding president spoke about sending people to school, spoke about utilization of natural resources of this country. Second president spoke about the same thing. Utilization, ending of values to our minerals. Third president, ending of values to our minerals. Then you have the fourth, maintaining a little bit of balance and keeping things moving smoothly. And then you have our current Dr. Netumbo, addition of values to our minerals. Now ask yourself, it's 35 years now, what was done? Look what happened yesterday. For your own knowledge, if you are still trying to catch up, particularly in economic news, Namibia is downgraded. Namibia is downgraded. It's no more upper middle income country. We are now lower middle income country. We are now in the same category of Angola and other countries. And it's rare in the history of development. It's rare in the history of development where a country is moved backward. But when you look at countries like in South America, those who were lower middle income or moved to upper middle income, the same was happening in Asia. Those who were at lower middle income, they moved to upper middle income. The world is moving up. We are being downgraded. One of the questions that we need to ask ourselves is that having natural resources, we have been training our students, we have been training our people for the past 35 years. But in terms of addition of values, where are we? Because the price of diamond changed, yes. But have we been adding value? The price of diamond changed due to lab-made diamonds, which impacted the GDP. And also, we still have a standing uranium. And that was supposed to be a long-term strategy in terms of energy. Then the conversation, up till now, conversations are vague. Conversations are vague about the utilization of uranium in Namibia. Because, yes, it's going to take long. But it's necessary for the country. So now we are downgraded. We are no more upper middle income country. And it's an unfortunate thing. And it's also something that we need to ask ourselves to say, what is really the problem? Because, you know, all these years when we have been trying to move with our developmental plans, we have always friends around the world. We have friends and donors who are giving us money. But where are they driving us to? They are giving us money. Donors, they are funding us. They are part of consultants in terms of projects. They are part of advising us. But why are we moving backward? Because when you look at Botswana and South Africa, they maintain their standard. But it's Botswana and South Africa, they maintain their standard in terms of economic ranking. But Namibia, yes, it's not really some, it's a shame, but we can still do it. Because this struggle, because when journalists speak about these things, it's not about talking negative things about government or those who are in charge. It's about bringing things to light so that at least we are part of the fight. We are part of the fight to make sure that Namibia is back at upper middle income. But in this time, a real upper middle income with the beneficiation of Namibian people. Because if other countries are moving forward and we are moving backward, it's not correct at all. Because I've been discussing this to say international rankings are not on our side. Maybe there's a lot of things that we need to do. We need to work on what we put in our mind and the output to the national development. And that is the only way that we are going to advance this country. And yeah, we are going to a short commercial break. After that, we are going to listen to an academician. Who's from the field of agricultural science. Then we'll ask in terms of food security and also the gap between theories or what is being taught at university about agriculture and what is happening in the field. And yeah, stay tuned. Continue asking yourself those questions. We are here until the hour of 7:30. You are listening to Airy Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And let's go to a quick commercial break. Then we can move forward.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere uliko ni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opo yue ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi todae njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Oku njendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe mbali hea hii nola natu. Heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no
further. Yes, dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, we are at the Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are here until the hour of 7:30. Today we are looking at academic pragmatism. Today we are looking at what are we learning and what lesson that we have learned. How are we using that in the field? Because for the past 35 years, Namibia have been producing political scientists, economists, development practitioners, statisticians, educators, and many other professionals. But the world is still continuing to shock us in terms of continue advising us to put our house in order. The world is still continuing to shock us in terms of advising us to work on our governance system. The corporate world, for example, especially at SOE level, is still not in order. Look at state institutions which were supposed to drive development. SOEs. How is Namibian SOEs? Before we go to the conversation, just to give you content of what have happened in terms of downgrading Namibia. Look, in the whole world, all the countries in the world, imagine you are in class, and other people, even those who fail, they are progressing in their failing category. Now, Namibia is downgraded to lower middle income country. And in terms of this being, Namibia being reclassified from upper middle income to lower middle income, due to the report by World Bank, Namibia is the only country in the world that move downward. Yes, I know, maybe today or tomorrow, Bank of Namibia will release a statement about where we are standing. There is a statement about that. And, we are not going to be surprised, because continue being on defensive mode as a state is not going to assist us. We need to work on the problems that we have. We need to understand that we have a real problem. Then we need to see how do we work on this. Yes, we are downgraded. Botswana maintain the standard. Don't be surprised if Angola also overtake us. Now, this is not only about academic pragmatism. It's also about broader aspect. It can include the leadership. It can include the legal framework. Yes, we can continue blaming colonialism. We can continue blaming colonialism, but until when? The question that we need to ask ourselves is that who is benefiting from suffering of the Namibian people? Then we follow that person. Who is benefiting from that? Because we were not supposed to be here. We have advisors. We have external partners. We have partners from the US, partners from EU, partners from all parts of the world, pumping a lot of money in our education, assisting us with technical research, try to give us directions. But statistics are continuing to surprise us. They are continuing surprising us to say Namibian market is not able to absorb its graduate. Its environment is not absorbing its graduates either to do business. Its legal framework is not assisting its people to apply the skills that they got, or the skills that people are getting is either unpractical or not needed at this moment in time. We are still behind in terms of advancement, and we continue to be behind because we prioritize the unprioritized. Now, look at it this way, and I don't want to scare you. I just want to make you aware. I don't want to scare you. We have been always talking about, and I'm not happy when I'm talking about this thing, because it's my country downgrading us. It's like we used to be in the top 5. Now you are putting us at number 28 out of 30. It's not correct, because we were in the category of countries like Brazil. We were in the category of advancing countries. It's not correct. Then something need to be done, because if you look at it this way, you are now the second highest unequal country in terms of economic inequality. You are number one in unemployment in SADC region. You are greylisted by Financial Action Task Force. You are at high risk jurisdiction by EU. You are at number 103, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of happiness level. Now again, to make the matter worse, which is not a good thing, you are downgraded to lower middle income. Apart from other things which need to be done well, based on the conversation for today, let's put our education in order. That is the conversation that we are driving today, to say putting education in order means expanding research, spending not less than 1% of your GDP to research and development, prioritizing local expert, revising and teach people what is needed. Because that is the only way that we are going to move forward. There was a conversation that we had with one academician from the sector of agriculture. From the sector of agriculture, that is Dr. Kai Kachatenya, it's a lecturer of agricultural science. And I had a conversation with him just to look at the contribution or the relationship between theories and practical agriculture, particularly when you want to address food insecurity. Between academic agriculture and also practical application of agriculture knowledge, particularly when it's coming to food security. It was indicated that despite the previous and the current administration declaring war on poverty and also food insecurity, Namibia is still getting food parcel or food bags from other countries. However, for us to unpack this, we got into the conversation with an academic, Mr. Dr. Kai Kachatenya, who is a lecturer at the Vichia University School of Agriculture and Natural Conservation, just to engage us this morning and to help us unpack where is the gap. Dr. Kai, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Morning. Thank you very much to welcome you on board so that we can see where we can fill the gap between the agriculture and the industry itself.
Yes, maybe let us look at the content of agriculture, particularly when it's coming to academic agriculture. We are trying to understand what is the content of agriculture modules at university or the institution that you are teaching, and also its relevance to food production in Namibia.
Yes, thank you very much. When you look at the models or when you look at the content that we are actually teaching in various institutions in Namibia, our focal point is more on soil science, because we know that Namibia is an arid country.
Yes.
We also focused on crop production, different type of crops that we normally produce in Namibia. And then we also look at livestock production itself, which is more on breeding and all the other. And then we also look, this one is a new one. We will look into agriculture economics and agribusiness itself.
Yeah.
And then we also recently introduced agriculture engineering with horticulture production, and then we go to extension and rural development and environmental as well as the natural conservation and natural resources management. Mm-hmm. So when you look at various institutions like the University of Namibia, you might have somebody that is doing a bachelor in agriculture,
yeah,
where he's more specialized in soil science, maybe animal science, or then we look at our center here, which is more on vocational, which is more on hand-on. We will also teach our students how to produce their own food, how to handle farm animals, and also how to do this small-scale farming. Mm-hmm. Just in short.
Yes, maybe apart from the content of the module, what is the relationship between the agriculture which is taught in class and also what graduates are going to do? Because I'm asking this question because we have seen a lot of agriculture graduates who are still struggling even to manage their own farms, or even to find something to do, even creating their own employment and also to work in the field of agriculture. What is the relationship between that and where is the gap?
Yeah, actually, when you look at the content itself, the content in terms of theory and practicals, what we have is that our theoretical content is more, it's in depth.
Okay.
But the gap is that in Namibia we have more, our students lack the practical when it comes to the industrial areas, because
yeah,
our students, they look at job opportunities, they don't have something to start up with in terms of capital, And then there's also a good, there's also no correlation between the our curriculum or when they go into the industry, because what they are, the industries are doing is not actually sometimes what they have been taught at the institutions. So we also need to match between the two, the industries as well as the our institutions, so that we actually, so that we can close the gap.
Yeah. Now let us look at apart from now theories, as an academic and also a lecturer of agricultural science, what other challenges did you find in implementing what is being taught in class and also what is on the ground? What other challenges did you find?
Yeah, as I've said, that most of the institutions that we have in Namibia, the first maybe challenges that we might have is that we might have limited infrastructures and resources.
Okay.
Here I'm thinking about the school farms, maybe the greenhouses, the education system, the livestock facilities, because we might have some institutions that are teaching agriculture that are in towns or their cities,
yeah,
where students they might like that. Also, the other one, maybe it might be the inadequate funding, because we might, somebody might be in a graduate, but at the end of the day, to start up something also in terms of our disciplines, you might not get, maybe you want to buy seeds, or you want to buy fertilizers, or you want to buy livestock, so that you might lack that funding as well.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is a shortage of our staffs. Sometimes, to be honest, in Namibia, we don't have people that are well trained when it comes to agriculture. We might have somebody that is a farm manager, but he might only have a certificate, mm-hmm, or he might have an instructor that is there, but he's only having a diploma or a technician. We don't have somebody that is a well-equipped graduate or somebody to teach the learners.
Mm-hmm.
So the other one might be the access to land.
Okay.
That one I spoke about, yes, access to land is one of the challenges, because for you to have an agriculture project for students, you need adequate land. So if you don't have enough access to land, sometimes the practical for students might be challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dr. Kaya, let us look at the current administration and also its prioritization to food security. We have seen a good pronunciation from the current president, who also indicated, you know, the utilization of green scheme and all those things. From an academic perspective, what do you think need to be done to make sure that academia, government, private sector, and NGOs are working together to make sure that Namibia become food sustainable or able to produce their own food for a long period of time?
Yes. As I've said, just to mention a few, maybe so that we can be together, is that we need to strengthen the entrepreneurs. Let me say the relationship between, in terms of agribusiness and our institutions,
yeah,
because they need to work hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So when we're developing maybe our curriculum, sometimes we need to involve those people that are on the ground,
yeah,
so that we can involve them also in terms of our development of the curriculum, so that they can understand what we need and what is expected from our students.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the second one, just to mention a few, is that we also have to make agriculture practice central. Let me say, it should not be an option. In some institutions, is that we normally teach theory, but when it comes to practicals, it tends to be an option. It should not be an option. It should be centralized,
mm-hmm,
so that all the students can have the project in terms of agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to mention another one is the link between the institutions and the farmers as well. That is very, very important, that if we train our students here, they need to be equipped with somebody that can guide them in terms of local farming or cooperative.
Yes, Dr. Kai, let us look at the last question, because we always ask, you know, academics and also experts, particularly in the fields which has to do with food production and also advancing our country. As an academic, what is your proud moment, and what is one tangible thing that you say you have contributed to the field of agriculture?
Yes, the implementation of agriculture started a long time ago.
Yeah.
But the implementation of agriculture in vocational centers,
okay,
or in vocational training center, I was part and parcel of them to develop the curriculum that will focus more on practical.
Yeah.
So that we produce people who not only academic in terms of theoretically, but practically. So what I'm proud of that, throughout the past 5 years, 10 years, I've produced farmers. Mm-hmm. And also in terms of this one, I was also part and parcel of developing most of the curriculum in agriculture so that they can fit in with a new environmental, with the new technologies that are coming, because nowadays we understand that we have drones that can be used for agriculture that we have never used before. Mm-hmm. We have other things that are coming into places. So we've also implemented new curriculums that are coming into places so that they can change our life in terms of our climate changes and so forth.
Yes, finally, Dr. Kai, what is your message to those who are willing to venture in agriculture, particularly the young people, but they don't know where to start, or some they are still scared of losing their capital, and some they still do not have a clear picture on investing in agriculture and also farming in particular?
Yes, my final reflection would be that they must come on board, because we have implemented projects that are fitting the generations that are coming into the future, which means this is not more on education itself, but it's more on becoming somebody in future as well. And also nowadays we have changed the classroom. We have changed our classroom into farms. Mm-hmm. So which means our classroom more into farms. And also in future now our graduates that are coming, they are not going to be just graduates, but they are going to be producers and entrepreneurs in the future.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Kaya, for joining us this morning.
Yes, that is Dr. Kaya, a lecturer of agriculture at Perovichia University. And yeah, we are 9 minutes before the end of the program. However, you can still communicate with us. You can still engage us at 083-288-401. So you can air your opinion, you can air your view, you can ask your questions, you can also give your contribution. And while we are there, it's always very good to understand that like we are always talking about, to say, in most cases, challenges that we are finding ourselves in, we have contributed to these challenges. Not as a government, but as a nation at large. We have contributed to these challenges, and the only person who would take out of these problems is ourselves. Nobody else, because it's us who are feeling the pain, and it's us who are feeling the embarrassment also, when the world is looking at us. And one will be able to think, it could be right that we maintain that upper middle income portfolio, so that at least we just use the income that we have wisely, just with the income that we have wisely, and also advance our standard. Because now, if the report is saying Namibia depended more on mining and quarrying sector, then when that sector is hit at the international market, it means that the price have changed and priority have changed. It means that the country is already knocked off the list. So imagine what could have happened if we added value to our uranium. What could have happened if we added more value to our diamond? Would we be here? I don't think so. What would happen if we don't rely more on making fast money by selling raw materials? Because things are now becoming tough. Things are now becoming tough. Just, and I think BON will release a statement maybe today or tomorrow. But one thing what we need to look at is also that, our financial system, people have been talking about this, need to be strengthened again. Financial system need to be strengthened again. Because just while we are there, while we are dealing with Financial Intelligence Center to assist us in reviving, the financial system, and also, removing Namibia from grey listed, Boyan lost the case against the general from DRC when it froze around 40 million. Former general Tete Orenga won that case. And it says a lot about what the international watchdog would do, particularly in the case of Namibia. Then the questions also you are asking yourself, is it because of the law or is it because of not the right procedures being followed? You know, imagine a central bank losing a case against a military general. Put it that way. Central bank lost a case against a military general from DRC about transaction of 40 million. Then the court said, give that money back now because you did not follow the right procedure. BON, Bank of Namibia, with the best lawyers, best advocates, people who are diligent in doing their work, people who are handling national treasury. Then you lost the case against military general. Just like that. And it's a law. It's a law. So you are living in Namibia where, I don't want to say it's a movie, we are not yet at that level, but the statistics and events are still continue to shock us. And it's up to us, not only as those who are in power, but also as citizens also to make sure that in terms of advancing our country, in terms of fighting against those challenges, particularly based on the topic that we have discussed today of academic pragmatism, it's always very important to make sure that we look at broader perspectives of things and what can we do to help our country, what can we do to help our country, and also maybe an element of long-term thinking. What are some of the elements of long-term thinking? Especially the patience of developing an institution or the patience of developing an industry rather than quick fix. Yeah, because quick fix will not solve our problem. Quick fix will not solve our problem and we'll find ourselves in a lot of trouble. Because apart from what is happening domestically, there are unpredictable, uncontrollable events. And just before we come to the end of this program, at an international level, the fight between Donald Trump, the most powerful man, or the man who commands the most powerful army on earth, and Elon Musk, the guy who have the richest guy on earth. The fight continue to intensify. The fight continue to intensify. Since they are split, where Donald Trump is also threatening of cutting the benefit of the benefit that companies of Elon Musk are getting from US government. And there's still a news to be confirmed about threatening of deporting him back to his home, which is South Africa. Then it says a lot about the economy, because when the bulls are fighting, it's the grass which is going to suffer. Because Elon Musk is not just an ordinary business guy. He also have political influence, and he can move muscles. And these are some of the things that we also need to observe. Some of the things that we also need to observe and see how we can navigate those impacts. Because whatever is happening at the international front has a direct or indirect impact on us, particularly as small countries, the one who is always at the receiving end. So from me, David Shombe, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thank you for listening to EMS. And yeah. See you. And I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri with Unpacking the Day. I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri with Unpacking the Day. So stay tuned. Download the Eagle FM app. Continue following us in all our social media platform. And, yep.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye
Eagle FM lets you express
friend,
your constitutional rights
you
of freedom
so
of expression without fear or favor.
This I'm planning an event for next weekend and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear or favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha, utekiru wakaguna, ii matina omjo. Chika wa shafa sana nana, nonge shifa ya eshiwite moshiwana. Ii moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandito mwa yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupipira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifaregi uimopo yomo programa vetu. Moambo dengera selma konora hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.